They're dropping like flies in D.C. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principle Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, and my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Well, since they're dropping like flies, I guess I don't have to hang any fly paper.
Well, we'd hope not. But it seems, though, Charles, as we look at the media and you see what's going on, this is supposed to be a time where Congress is kind of on a quiet phase. They're getting ready to head into a break that they take usually around the late summer period, and people are getting ready for their re-election campaigns, and they're out campaigning and running around, and all these things are going on, all the normal things of life are going on. But this year, much more so than I seem to remember in the past, we seem to have a situation where many of the elected officials that we have in D.C., and we're going to talk about a handful of them today, but many of them seem to be exiting from the stage, and not because they lose a primary or not because they won't win their general election, but for other strange reasons. And probably the most strange one right now is the case of Representative Jesse Jackson Jr. Yes, right, ladies and gentlemen, the son of the Reverend Jesse Jackson, who is a congressman from Illinois, has turned up missing. And I don't mean quite in that sense, like, you know, we can't find a body or anything, but that he has dropped off the face of the planet, so to speak, in that he has taken a leave of absence from Congress. And has been gone now for, I don't know, Chuck, probably about 7 or 8 weeks, maybe even longer.
He took the leave of absence. He just disappeared and then suddenly announced that he was taking a retroactive leave of absence. So it's very strange set of circumstances, and nobody's talking about what health issues he has. There are all kinds of rumors floating around. And of course, if it's a rumor, I'm not sure we should spread what the rumors say. You can probably guess. But the fact is, the guy has just suddenly dropped out of sight off the radar and is off in a clinic someplace. And nobody seems to know where except his family. I can tell you, if this were a Republican, the media would be all over it. And they're doing their best, as usual, because it's Jesse Jackson Jr., to ignore the story. You've heard some of it, but you haven't heard much of it. He's very popular in his district, but you know, all you have to do is look at his district. It's not surprising. He's in a gerrymandered district that's supposed to be an instant reelect for him, and he gets reelected 5-by-5 and 10-to-1 margins. So what? There are a few Republican districts that are the same around the country. It's kind of meaningless. But the fact is,
That's true.
There's all kinds of stuff floating around Jesse Jackson Jr. having to do with, there were possible talk about bribes to get the seat held by Barack Obama.
Yeah, that's right. But it's not just talk, Chuck. The point is that there's an active House Ethics Committee investigation that is looking into allegations that the representative, Jesse Jackson Jr., was indeed involved in some of the planning and discussions with Rod Blagojevich, the former disgraced governor of Illinois who's now sitting in a federal prison, who was steering for payola to appoint successor to Barack Obama's U.S. Senate seat from Illinois when he became president.
We shouldn't pull punches. He was selling the seat.
Oh, yeah, he was selling the seat. That's right. But supposedly there have been some allegations that Jackson Jr. was actively engaged in those negotiations over the seat. As a matter of fact, that when a fundraiser for Jackson by the name of Raghuveer Nayak pled not guilty to federal medical fraud charges, they now have started asking him questions regarding the Blagojevich issue, and Nayak has basically said that he's starting to give them information. Let's put it this way.
Okay, yeah.
And at the same time that the representative took a leave of absence from Congress, claiming, first of all, that it was because of exhaustion from a perilous and hairy primary race in Chicago earlier on this year, but now that because of some unrelated medical issues that he's seeking treatment in an inpatient medical facility. So right now we don't know anything, but what we do know is that Dick Durbin, who is, as a senator, the Senate's number two Democrat, so he's right behind Harry Reid, Durbin wants some answers. Durbin happens to also be from Illinois, and so
exactly.
he wants to know what's going on because he thinks that Jackson needs to let Congress especially and the public know, give an update about whether or not he's able to carry out the seat and to stand for election this fall. And Durbin even pointed out a Republican senator by the name of Mark Kirk, who had suffered a stroke earlier this year, who actually provided regular updates from his doctor and videos and everything else to Congress, to his colleagues, to let them know that he was making progress and could and would be able to come back. This is something that Durbin is now requesting that Jackson provide to the public and especially to senior Democratic leadership.
And this was something that the press made a big deal out of. As far as they were concerned, this senator who had that stroke should have resigned immediately. Make that seat available. Get out of the way. There's work to be done and that kind of thing. But things are very quiet from the Jesse Jackson end of the thing. I'll be quite honest. There are three main possibilities here. This is either one, an attempt to hide from the ethics charges. Two, he really has a serious health issue that may affect his ability to do his job. Or three, this is something worse that he does not want the press to find out because it would become extremely embarrassing to him personally. Although, frankly, I think this guy in his district could get reelected under any kind of moral turpitude circumstances. I don't think anybody would care. He would be reelected. But the fact is, his credibility would be gone in the areas of coming out and speaking out in, for instance, the Trayvon Martin case that Jackson did rather extensively until he suddenly disappeared. So the question is, really, what is going on? And the answer is, nobody knows, and the press is not doing its job in probing to find out. And it sounds like Dick Durbin from the Senate trying to get somebody in the House to do something. Well, that's up to John Boehner, and good luck getting anything done with John Boehner sitting in the speakership.
Absolutely. But Chuck, there are some other things. Like we said, there are some other issues that are going on. And these are all in the House. It seems like the Congress is having some interesting issues. Just this week, Michigan Representative Thaddeus McCotter, who some of our listeners may recognize the name because I think he's guest hosted on some of the national conservative talk programs in the past or been guests on there, abruptly announced his immediate resignation from Congress. Now, Representative McCotter, who I believe his congressional district in Michigan was in the Novi area of Michigan outside. You know that Michigan better than I do, Chuck. Where exactly would that be?
I'm pretty sure that is the western outside of Detroit in the Livingston County area, which would be, you're right, Novi and some of that area.
Farmington Hills and those other areas.
Farmington is a little further in on the other side, but I'm pretty sure that that's his district. It's been a long time since I knew Michigan congressional districts, but I'm pretty sure that's the Novi area. And if you know where that is, it's on the northwest outskirts, way outside of Detroit. It's a way far out suburb.
Yeah, I'm a little familiar with that. I've been up there a couple of times. But Congressman McCotter, who is a multiple-term congressman, he happens to also be one of the more hardcore libertarians in the congressional delegation, you know, a la Ron Paul in the Congress. Some people may remember this, was actually running for the nomination for President of the United States this year. He had earned his hat in the ring to be one of the candidates. And I don't believe he, Chuck, if I remember correctly, I don't think he ever got into any of the actual debates that were being done by the Republican candidates.
Well, let's take a look at that just for a second. Why that didn't happen. The media plays a game. You have to have a minimum amount of support before you can get into the debates. But how are you going to get the name recognition to get the minimum amount of support if you can't get in the debates? And the answer is you can't. They tried to keep Ron Paul out on that basis, and Ron Paul kept popping up with double-digit numbers, and they said, well, we can't keep him out anymore.
Yep.
Although they tried and tried and tried and tried. McCotter, basically, I don't think he could get above a 5% threshold, and since they couldn't, they wouldn't let him in the debates. Well, that, of course, is an absurdity on its face, because how is somebody going to get traction if he's not a well-known congressman and he can't get his message out? What's he supposed to do? And the answer is, I suppose, raise quadrillions of dollars and print your own stuff and do major mass mailings and those kinds of things. You still have to, in order to raise that kind of money, you have to have a certain amount of name recognition. And McCotter just didn't. So they managed to keep him out on that basis. I'm going to be quite honest with you. I'm going to let my little conspiracy bug out here.
Okay.
I think McCotter was gotten by the Republican Party establishment. Now, what do I mean by that? McOtter's problem. McOtter rather, they say basically, quote unquote, spectacularly failed to achieve ballot status. In other words, to get on the fall ballot. Well, the reason he did that was because all of a sudden they turn in nominating ballots and something like 80% of them were fraudulent.
80%. They turned in 2,000 signatures, which is twice as many as you need to get on the ballot in Michigan. And 80% of those 2,000 or 1,600 out of 2,000 were considered fake or duplicate signatures.
You have to work really, really hard to fail in gathering signatures by 80%.
Yes, you do.
That requires almost an organized effort. And I'll be quite honest, this looks to me like he allowed the Republican Party to gather signatures for him, and they torpedoed him. This would not be the first time that had ever happened. My brother once worked in a campaign on a Democratic congressman, and something similar was tried on him because they wanted to get rid of him. Now, the congressman was Larry McDonald from Georgia, and let me tell you, the Democratic Party wanted nothing more than to get rid of Larry McDonald. And they stuck him with a Democratic ideologue who did everything in his power to make sure that he lost the primary. My brother was working in the office at the time. They would receive direct orders from the campaign director that they said, this can't be right. So they ignored him. And they went out and they made the calls that they were supposed to. And on election night, on primary night, the guy was completely dejected because his candidate had won.
Yep.
So don't kid yourself that that does not happen. This was way back in like 1978, I think, maybe 80, somewhere in there, right? Not too long before Congressman McDonald was shot down in Flight 007. But I'm letting my little paranoid bug out. But I'll tell you, this looks like with McOtter's background, he is a hardcore libertarian. He doesn't necessarily play the Republican Party games, and this looks like something the Republican Party would do to get rid of him.
It very well could be, but that's like two of the three that we know of just this week that either have disappeared, dropped out, or are being investigated. And the latest one is Representative, and let me pull this up here real quick. I'm sorry, it jumped off the page on me. I apologize for that, ladies and gentlemen. Where did it go? There it is. Representative Shelley Berkley, who's a Democrat from Nevada. The House Ethics Committee this week appointed a panel to investigate the actions of Representative Berkley, who voted in favor of a provision that would have extended Medicaid payments to a kidney transplant program at the University Medical Center in Las Vegas. Well, not a big deal because, you know, you're doing it, you know, because you want to help people who need kidney transplants and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But if you have a husband who happens to be a physician by the name of Dr. Larry Lerner and is a managing partner of a company that contracted with the hospital to provide kidney care, you might have an issue on your hands.
Yeah, slight ethics issue involved there.
Yeah, just a slight one, yes.
And that, again, we've got two ethics issues. And one, everybody's claiming McOtter had an ethics issue with this thing. I'm like, I don't think so. I'll be quite honest. I think he got gotten. But Jackson and this woman from Nevada, they have undisputable, questionable ethics issues that should come before an ethics panel. Well, look, they've got others that they'll never get rid of. Maxine Waters has been fighting ethics charges for how long now? Two terms?
Yeah, forever.
Somehow she keeps weaseling out of her ethics hearing. Again, John Boehner at work. This woman has, if you look into the ethics charges against her, it's some pretty major stuff involving some of the banks that failed. Her husband being heavily involved in some of that and her being involved in lobbying, doing on-the-floor lobbying for some of the banking that got huge bailouts and then failed. So this is just an amazing picture to me, Barry, of the congressmen that are resigning and the ones that aren't. And who knows, maybe some of these people are getting ready to be sacrificial lambs so they can keep people like Maxine Waters, who frankly is a Marxist, openly so. But in any case, I hate to report, we're running out of time.
Oh, of course. We have, I think, a little bit more time than some of these congressmen do, especially those whose votes will cause them also to find themselves walking out the doors of Congress this November.
Let's hope so. And with that, join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.